It is always a joy and a treat when we here at Albion get to see and have some of those who have such beautiful feet taking the good news of the gospel to places in the world that we don't or cannot go. And we have the privilege this morning of having Andrew and Yolanda, and I know Yolanda's coming up here, but Andrew, I know you love this. Would you just stand? People need to see you. You are the other half, if even the less vocal half, of this ministry. We all know that, but we delight in this. And I know Yolanda will talk about her table in the back, but some of you have already seen that table and the items that you can purchase back there to help support the women that the Burgesses work with. And you're going to hear more and more about that. So God bless you, Yolanda. And afterwards, when you are all done, Andrew, I'll call you up front again, and I want to just, I want to pray with you before you're done. All right? God bless you.
Thank you so much. All right. Where is that slide? All right. Good morning. I think we're just getting set up, yeah? So I'm going to introduce myself. My name is Yolanda Burgess, and my husband, Andrew Danya, he is the administrator of the ministry, and he's the one who works behind the scenes and keeps the wheels turning, all right? So he is a big part of the ministry, even though you see my face up front, yeah? So I'm really excited to share with you guys today and tell you a little bit about what's been happening in the ministry the last year and a half. So I'm going to start with telling you where we minister. So we minister in the country of Zimbabwe, which is found on the continent of Africa. Small country, Zimbabwe, it's about the size of Montana, but with about 15.5 million people population-wise. And we minister to women and children in the country. So we live in a small little town called Chinoy, and we work in the high-density area. So a little bit more than the slums. People have a little bit more than people in the slums, but very closely populated group of people. Let's move on. So that's the country of Zimbabwe. I always tell people it looks like a teapot without a handle. That's how you can remember the map of Zimbabwe. So our mission statement, this is what helps us focus all that we do. Our mission statement is to create a system of support services that benefit women and children by meeting their physical, their emotional, and their spiritual needs. And this in turn creates a self-sustaining community. So everything that we do, we watch it through this lens. We believe in holistic ministry. That means meeting the needs of the whole person. But I'm not going to beat around the bush. We have an ulterior motive. Our ulterior motive is to share the gospel at every single opportunity that we have. So before I even start telling you stories, you guys know I'm a storyteller if you've ever met me, I have to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much to this church. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your partnership with the ministry of JM2Z. Thank you for your prayer. Thank you for your comments on our blog posts and liking all our posts on our Facebook group. We are so grateful. It's because of you and churches like you that I am able to share the stories of the many women and children that you will hear today. You are making a difference halfway across the world. You are making an impact for the gospel in Zimbabwe, Africa. So thank you very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So we got back to Zimbabwe the end of 2021, in about August, September, and we hit the ground running. Our first major project, we needed solar, all right? We have 20 hours a day of no electricity, like every single day, all right? No electricity. Very limiting to be able to accomplish and do things ministry-wise in order to send you communication and do blog posts and get work done. All right, very difficult to do that. However, in order to get solar, we needed a new roof. So we put a plea out because our roof was an asbestos roof, all right, and it was not in good state, and we needed a new roof. And we were able to fund $18,000, and by we, I mean God provided. Amen? And so the first thing we did is we put a new roof on our ministry base. Thank you so much. Such an incredible blessing. And then we went straight into getting our solar system. The solar system has literally been transformative for our ministry. It means that we are able to go to bed at a normal time every night, get up and do regular ministry. What we used to do before is we stay up till 4 in the morning when we know we have our window of opportunity when the electricity is on between, say, 11, 12 o'clock at night until 3, 4 in the morning, and that's when we get our work done and our laundry, of course. Now we're able to go to bed at a normal time. We're able to get the rest we can so that we can more effectively do the work that God has called us to do. So let me tell you a little bit about the ministry. If you've never heard about what we do, we have two groups of women that meet on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, every single week. We gather together in our home, which is the ministry base. We open God's word, we read it, we study it, and we disciple. This is at the heart of everything that we do. We disciple women. All right, and so we have just finished up the Old Testament. We finished the New Testament a few years ago. We did a survey of the New Testament. Now we finished a survey of the Old Testament. And so the picture that you see over there, the ladies are getting together in groups, and we have cut out about 37 key events through Scripture, starting from creation, ending with the new creation. And we are letting the ladies get together and put them in chronological order. So I have a little funny story to tell about that. So each little event has a title of that event, like creation, and then it has an explanation what that means, you know, when God created the heaven, the earth, and man, and animal, and everything in it, right? So there's an explanation. So, of course, one of the events is present day, meaning us today. Because when you look at Scripture, when you look at Revelation, all right, that hasn't happened yet, all right? There's present day, and then there's Revelation. So when the ladies got to present day and we were going through the order, they put present day directly after the birth of Christ. And there was all this other things happening, like Paul, you know, Pentecost. And so I said to the ladies, well, why did you put present? And it said present. Why did you put present there? And they said, well, Jesus was born. He's our present, and we gave him presents. Oh, a little bit of a language barrier that happened right there. We all had a good chuckle about that one. So another area, another branch of our ministry is medical assistance. This has really picked up in the last 2 years. You know, these ladies, they don't have health care. The health care system in Zimbabwe is very poor. And so in order to get anything done, you generally have to go private, and everything costs money. Of course, it's not at the cost that you would pay yet in the United States. But understand that these women make less than $1 a day, right? So very expensive to go and see the doctor. We have helped in so many areas. You are only seeing a couple of photos, and I can't tell you every story because on a monthly basis, we have several people we are assisting in this area. But I want to tell you the story of one of those. And so in the middle, you see a picture of a lady. Her name is Mai Tamulin. And I'm going to tell you about her husband. I chose not to post a picture of her husband because all the pictures I have are quite graphic. So Mai Tamulin, her husband, she's in our Wednesday group. He was walking on the side of the road, and there was a car coming. And on the other side of the road was a group of 25 men. And as this car was driving, there was a car in front and another car coming head on. And there was no way for this car to go without having a head-on collision. This car had to go off the road. The choice was drive through a group of 25 or drive through the group of one, which is the husband of this woman. And he made the difficult decision to do a hit and run of this man. He was so badly injured that when he was taken to hospital, he basically blood was coming from every orifice in his face, all right? Ears, mouth, eyes, nose, everywhere. He couldn't hear. He was unable to speak. His vision was impaired. $1 for the medical care. Now,
That sounds like a little bit of money, right? He got MRIs and scans, and he was in hospital for several days, and there was a doctor's visit. But in Zimbabwe, again, you make less than a dollar a day. You're talking about several years' worth of income. So we were able to cover that. And then we began to pray. The women gathered on a daily basis praying. And as soon as he was discharged, which he was, they said, there's nothing more we can do. And he went home. The women would visit him from the Wednesday and Tuesday group, and they would pray. And we prayed with earnestness, knowing that we serve the great physician. And if God so wills, he can and he will heal him. And he did. He is in full recovery. He can hear, he can see, he has taste back, he can walk, he is moving, and he is 100% healed. And we believe, yes, he got the care he needed day one. He got the necessary medical care. But after that, we believe that God performed miraculous signs in healing him completely. To God be the glory, amen. And we are so grateful when we hear this lady speak, Mai Tamaline. She comes and she says, I have a testimony to share. She was able to get up in her church and say, I have a testimony to share. And she sure does. So I want to tell you about our children's program. So yes, the kids love Andrew. That's absolutely true. So I'm the taskmaster, so I'm not quite as exciting. But Andrew's fun guy, so they absolutely run to him. And our children's program is very similar to what you would be VBS in this country, right? Every summer you'd have a VBS for a week long. We try to have it every holiday. It's year-round school, so that would be April, August, and December. Yes, we're crazy, we know. So we have it three times a year if we are able to. The ladies in our Wednesday and Tuesday group, they are the ones who volunteer and help. And without them, this would be impossible to do. We get to worship. I love seeing those children worshiping Jesus. I mean, it is just a most beautiful sight. I think it's a little piece of heaven, right? We're all going to worship. And then I want to tell you a story about Sifle. I have so many, but I have very short time and a very strict schedule. So I'm going to give you one story. His name is Sifle. So Sifle is 9 years old. This was Sifle's first time attending. We were talking about Moses trusts God, so can we. So we spoke about Moses in the reeds where his mother put him down the river. And we spoke about Moses returning to Pharaoh and saying, let my people go. And the burning bush and the 10 plagues, right? Moses trusted God, and so can we. And so as you can see in the picture, we have the children over here wearing the day that they did the plagues, they have frog crowns. This was a hit. Huge hit, all right? They absolutely adored this. So Sifle went home. We have a bus system that picked the children up and dropped them off at a drop-off point in the high-density area, and then most children obviously will walk home from the drop-off point. Well, we get done at about, first bus is at about 4:15 and then 4:45, so everybody's home by about 5 o'clock. At 5:30, I get a phone call from Sifle's mom. Has the bus left the church yet? Well, yes. They have both left, and I'm no longer there. I'm the last to leave. There are no children there. She said, Sifle is still not home. She said, I have been asking and around, and nobody knows where Sifle is. I said, let me make some calls. I start calling the ladies and saying, did anybody see Sifle? Which bus was he on? When he got off, did you see who he walked home with? Did you see which direction he went? Was there anybody loitering around? We're starting to get concerned. I look at Andrew. I say, what do we do? Should we jump in the car and just start driving around? We have to do something. About 30 minutes pass. I call Sifle's mom again. I say, I called everybody. He was on the bus. He was walking towards home. He was with a couple of friends. Have you heard anything? She said, yes, I found him. I said, you did. What happened? She said, let me tell you. You said, you see, Sifle got off at the bus stop. And then he started to stop at every single house on the road before his home to show them his craft and to tell him about the 10 plagues and how we can trust God like Moses did. She found Sifle 2 houses down with a group of 35 children sitting in a circle. And Sifle was telling them, let me tell you how we can trust God like Moses did. And then he taught them the songs we were singing. Let my people go, he said. And everybody said, let my people go, as they formed the actions that he was teaching them that he had just learned the previous 2 days at the children's program. Then he took off his frog crown and everybody very gently tried on the frog crown. This is what I got to make. And then he said, and you see this sticker? It's because I knew the memory verse. Do you want me to teach you the memory verse? And they all agreed. And he recited his memory verse and they said it back to him. And 35 children who were not at our children's program learned a memory verse, learned worship songs, and learned what it meant to trust in God like Moses did. Is he a disciple or what? And this is why we have the children's program. We are multiplying. We are sending out disciples as young as 9 years old. Is that a challenge? When was the last time you told somebody, you can trust God like Moses did? So I want to tell you, when we get together on a Tuesday and a Wednesday, we get together to crochet and knit. And we used to do, many of you used to buy our jewelry. The ladies made paper beaded jewelry. They have moved on to their next project, something new. If you've walked past that table, you know what I'm talking about. I saw several children up here with their little animal, a set of 6 safari animals that they have made. We have the big animals and we have the small ones. And the women are ecstatic. Do you see the face of this lady? She is so proud of the work she has done, and she should be. You know, these are women who thought they didn't have anything to offer. They couldn't support their families. They couldn't do anything, but they can, right? And so they made these animals, so make sure to stop by at the end and possibly pick one up. We have one of our ladies, Sissy Winnie. She was really struggling with crocheting. She was struggling how to do it, how to follow the pattern. So we moved on to knitting, and she started knitting squares. And before long, there was enough squares to make a lap blanket. And she turned it into the lap blanket. And it's beautiful and it's colorful. It's not perfect, but it's perfectly imperfect. And she said, but nobody will want this. It's not like the animals. I said, oh, somebody is going to want this. So the blanket is out there and you can bid for that blanket. And in May, we're going to find out what that blanket will bring in, because I know that blanket is worth something, right? So I'm excited to see what she's going to make with that blanket. We also have, talking about crocheting, we have a couple ladies who are widows. And those ladies, they made mug cozies, all right? You put that around your mug, keeps your mug nice and warm, keeps your hands cool. And these are women who are caring for their grandchildren, all right? Widows caring for their grandchildren. So we have that on the table too. I want to tell you about our micro enterprises and micro loans. In the past, I've told you about women who have reared chickens, right? And that was part of our micro enterprise program. We've also started to implement micro loans on a very small scale. We asked the lady, when she asked for a loan, draw up a plan. I need a business plan. How are you going to actually make money? What is your profit? What is the money you need to put out? How long will it take you? Why? Because we don't want to keep women in bondage. We don't want to keep them enslaved to their debt. We're trying to give them a hand up to help them, to pull them out of poverty. So this lady over here, my dean, she got a job the start of the year. She won out over 150 applicants to get an officer job at a local prison. She went for 6 months training. She works full time. She works full time and she makes $56 a month. Full time. I'm sorry, 72, 72. She makes $72 a month for a full-time job. She is unable to finish paying for her kids' schooling and all the other needs she has, even though she has a full-time job. So she asked for a loan after a plan, and she asked for money in order to buy a freeze-it machine. Freeze-its are similar to what you would call freeze pops in this country. The juice that's in those packets, and you freeze them, and the kids chew on them. It's a very similar concept. So she bought, we gave her a loan, she bought this machine, she started making these freeze pops and selling them in bulk to other people who would sell and make a profit. And she has paid the loan back in full, and she is making double what she was making before, even though she continues with her full-time job, right? So really empowering her to care for her family. We have another program, our education sponsorship program. We don't call it our child sponsorship because we see this as partnering with the guardian. This is the parent, the grandparent, whoever the guardian is of the child. We want to partner with them. We want to empower them. We want to give them an opportunity to save face in front of their child. They don't need to know that somebody halfway across the world is covering the education of their child. So we have two little kids. These two just started preschool. They are in their preschool uniform, all right? And so our sponsorship program, we cover school fees, school uniform, books, school shoes, anything school related gets covered in this program. And we have sponsors in the U.S. We're still looking for some more sponsors. But I want to tell you a little bit about this, give some background over here. The first picture is that first little guy with a mask. That first picture, we have known baby Weston since he was 30 minutes old. The second picture is me holding twins. Those are the twins on their first day of school. I'm holding the twins when they are 4 days old. Long-term investment in life. That's what we're about. We're at the point of JM2Z where we have a decade under our wings being on the mission field. Praise the Lord. All glory to him for that. To be able to see these children grow and grow in their knowledge of Jesus, to partner with these women from the very get-go, we're discipling and pouring into the next generation of Zimbabweans who are going to change their country. We're so excited for this. But I just had to share these pictures, right? I mean, come on. Another element. I told you about the physical aspect of things that we help with. I spoke about the spiritual branch of our ministry. Remember that mission statement? Now there's the emotional aspect. One of our ladies, her name is Gladys. She's right in the middle there. She's got her sisters on either side of her, and this is her husband's funeral. He got cancer at the start of the year. He got very sick. He needed assistance. Once again, we helped with medical assistance during that time, pain relief, scans to find out what was wrong with him. We were the ones who actually told her husband had cancer and he was terminal, because after the scans, the doctors did a write-up, told her no information, but sent her home with a form. And she just thought he was fine because she couldn't understand the medical jargon. But when you read that form, it was saying he has cancer, it's terminal, he doesn't have long to live. And we had to break that news to them. We were able to visit with them, care for them during this time, assist with food hampers every step of the way. And the women in our Tuesday and Wednesday groups went every single day, all right? Or should I say, went at least 3 times a week during this time that he was sick. And so after he passed away, Gladys said, I want to say thank you for this group. Thank you to this group who was being the church, who supported me the last several months. There wasn't a week that went by that somebody from this group didn't come to visit me, to support me, and to pray for my husband. Thank you. And so we were able to support her in that. I want to tell you another emotional element. When the day her husband passed away starts the 3 days of mourning, where you go and you spend all day with the person who has lost the loved one. And so we went to visit her. We were there most of the day while the women were indoors and they were wailing and they were praying and they were singing. They were encouraging her. The men gathered outside. As we were about to leave towards the end of the day, I saw one of the ladies walk towards the house. You see, this lady had broken her ankle about several weeks before this. She was on crutches, again, something we assisted with. She had walked the hour and a half on crutches with a broken ankle in a cot because she wanted to come and sit with this woman to mourn with her. She said, "My sister is in pain. I am here to support her." Is that not just a beautiful picture of sacrifice? Walking on crutches an hour and a half to support your sister in mourning. The support is so beyond what Andrew and I provide or the ministry of JM2Z, but these women have matured in their faith and in their knowledge of Christ that they are doing what God has called each and every one of us to do. Let's see, I have time. I'm going to push this in there. So this lady, I want to keep telling you about this lady. When her husband passed away, she had family members who came and told her, as well as church members, people in her church, who said, first they said, "You need to go to the rural area so that you can make a sacrifice to the ancestors," who her husband is now going to be an ancestor, right? "You need to appease them. Somebody has died. You need to go and make a sacrifice to the ancestors." And she said, "No, I will not." And they said, "But it is expected." They said, yes, I know, we go to church, but you still have to do this. You know this is expected in our culture." And she said, "No, I serve Yahweh and Yahweh alone, and I will not make a sacrifice to the ancestors." And then she had people say to her, "Aren't you afraid to be in your home? Because your husband died in this home. His ghost is all around. Are you not scared?" She said, "I fear no ghost because the Holy Spirit is the only spirit who lives in my home because I serve Yahweh." And she said to us, she said, "Yolanda," she said, "before I came to this group more than 7 years ago, I had grown up in the church. I had had my Bible, but I didn't know how to read it. I didn't know what it meant to have a personal relationship with Jesus." And she said, "Now I stand with confidence and assurance." Those are my words. She stands with confidence and assurance in knowing who Jesus is. And she said it with proudness and with boldness, and she shared it with the group as a form of encouragement. The spiritual maturity that has taken place in this woman's life brought tears to my eyes. And this is what long-term investment looks like. This is what discipleship looks like. We also have our food and hygiene hampers. We started this during COVID. We continue to every 2 months provide a food hamper to each and every woman. That's each and every woman in our Tuesday and Wednesday group. There's a couple missing there. Every single one of these women, they have a name and they have a face. All right. These are not just people over there in Africa. These are women with stories. These are women who have HIV/AIDS support groups. These are women who have support groups for widows. These are women who lead Bible studies in their group. These are women who lead youth group and Sunday school. These women are leaders in their community. There are faces to their names and names to their faces. And these are the women that you are helping and you are assisting with the food hampers. And here's the other thing. They get two hampers. One hamper to give out to others in their community. And the ones they give to others in their community, they say, "Yolanda, if it wasn't for the food hamper that we help with, they would not eat. They would literally starve to death." If somebody dies because they do not have food and they haven't had the opportunity to hear the gospel, we're doing something wrong. We're doing something wrong. And so the last story I want to share with you is our final project that we did. We had about 8 weeks before we left Zimbabwe, and I was like, we got to do this. We've got to get this done. I want to get back to the U.S. and be able to tell the churches, we have finally built the ministry building. We fundraised for this about 5 years ago. You guys also gave towards this project. And so this ministry building is built on the premises where our ministry base is. It's a two-room building with a bathroom. It's where we will gather on a weekly basis moving forward, both the Tuesday and Wednesday groups. It has great lighting. It has tables and chairs where we can gather together, read God's word, see what to do, because the women have eyesight problems due to growing up around fires indoors. And so we don't have great lighting in our home. So this will be fantastic. And remember that children's program I told you about? If you've ever helped out in Sunday school or VBS, you know you need stuff. All right? That stuff gets used every single time that event happens. Well, that stuff needs to go somewhere. This is where it's going. So we have wall-to-wall cupboards that need to be put in. This building is completely erected. We have both rooms. As you can see, it's completely done on the outside and the inside. Only the bathroom needs to be completed. However, we need to be able to put storage in there. We need to be able to finish up our little kitchenette in there and the bathroom. And that's going to cost an additional $7,500. We're not worried about it. God's got this, right? He provides again and again. My father owns cattle on 1,000 hills. It's already done. We're not worried about it, right? But it's because of people like you who give that we can accomplish this. But I want you to see and know where your investment in kingdom work is going. So in closing, thank you again. And I want to show you, give you a couple practical ways that you can support us. Sign up for our blog if you don't already do that. Like our James to Z Facebook page. Purchase a fair trade item. Out there on the back, there's things to purchase. Don't leave here without picking something up. I'm sure there's something you can give as a gift. And remember, this is not to help us or our ministry. This is money that goes straight back into the pockets of the women that we work with. Widows who care for their kids, single parents, couples who are living in abject poverty. Become a prayer warrior. Pick up a magnet. Stick it on your fridge if you haven't already done that. Pray for us. We believe in the power of prayer. All right? We truly believe in the power of prayer. Make a one-time donation towards the finishing up our ministry building. Come visit us. We always want people to come and visit us. Come visit us on a mission trip. Sponsor a child. In other words, be a part of our education sponsorship program. That's $25 a month. Sponsor a food hamper. That's $50 a month. We're still looking for people to cover this. Right now, we are covering this out of our general fund because we don't have enough sponsors yet. Or sponsor a child for our children's program. It costs $20 for one child to go for an entire week, to eat a whole meal, nutritious meal, to have snacks, crafts, coloring pages, to hear the gospel, to hear God's word, to worship, to do activities, to be transported, and to make disciples for Jesus. So thank you so much for your time. All right.
If you don't catch any passion from that, I feel for you. Thank you so much for giving us updates on what's going on. I'm so glad you put these practical points up here of things we can do, and I do want to pray for you, but you talk about make a one-time donation to finish the ministry building. Last November, we had our in-gathering offering, and it's often just a huge gift of faith. We don't know where it's going to go until the missions team gets together and says, here's where it's going to go. So we have a gift for you that it won't quite complete it, but it'll take care of a large chunk of that for you. That's a $5,000 gift for you guys. So may God
bless. God provides, right?
Yeah, see, you are already well ahead of us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Come a little closer so I can have you up here so they can at least hear me through the microphone. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are that you raise up men and women to take the gospel all around the world. Because we know, O Lord, that your word tells us there in heaven for all eternity there will be people from every nation, every tribe, every language, every people group. And we get to see and hear now how some of these people in Zimbabwe are going to be there praising you, whether they be young or old. Oh, Father, thank you for a little one like Sifle who can challenge us and maybe even humble us as a 9-year-old who is so excited about telling other people that he can trust this great God who has given his son. Father, help us. I pray for Andrew and Yolanda. I pray for their time here stateside that you would give them safety in their travel. I pray that you would give them days where they can rest and be refreshed and restored. I pray that when it is time, according to your will, you would take them back home to Zimbabwe and that that ministry building might be finished by then and that they could see the use of that give the glory to you in all ways, in all things. Father, thank you so much for that this very day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.